You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Boss Hog of Liberty podcast. This is episode number 296 of East Central United's favorite podcast, Jeremiah Morrill. Today I am joined by executive video audio producer, engineer, soundboard model, a man that has run 468 days in a row of at least 1 mile, Mr. Zachary Burcham.
Good evening.
For
anybody behind the scenes, that came up because of my ibuprofen usage.
He was admitting to
it doesn't come without costs.
He was admitting to his drug problem with ibuprofen. Our co-host tonight is Mr. Bash Davis. We're going to give you his name. I mean, you don't, Bash isn't even your real name. So why the hell would we give you?
I'm Dakota's brother, Bash.
Welcome, Bash.
I've appeared here as Bash Kreider in the past, but tonight, since I am Dakota, but less. Here I am.
What do we have planned tonight, Bash Davis?
Today's episode is all that the cue card said, but McKinley.
We got McKinley Brown tonight, right?
McKinley is here.
Because I'm here.
She is. She did the American Idol circuit, and she is from here in town. And you've probably seen her. You've probably seen her dad, Mike. And they're going to tell us the story.
Sadly, she's here with us and not down on Manhattan Beach in L.A. still.
Yeah, but it's okay. I'll take what I can get.
She could be doing a lot better than this show with one of the hosts replaced by me. But
that's the first time I've ever seen Bash at a shortage for words in my life. And I've known him since the 80s.
I appreciate it.
Deep in the 80s.
Thank you, Zach.
This show's about our lives in rural Indiana. We're here to push your boundaries and make you think as individuals. Sometimes we'll provoke you. Other times we'll make you laugh. But hopefully you'll always learn something new. Like today when we renamed Bash and he did not know how to handle it. All right, Mr. Bash Kreider, this is your little commercial on the top of the show. You belong to, I'm going to get this right, I wrote it down, Hayes, Copenhaver, Kreider, Harvey, and Davis.
And Dakota Davis has recently joined our law firm. Davis is everywhere.
Thought y'all traded jobs.
That's right. I'm an estate planning attorney, and I agreed to be on this show in exchange for this very plug.
And at least 2 to 3 Miller Lights.
Do you need a will? Did you recently die? Call me. Thanks.
Not on Facebook, though. You can't find them on Facebook.
Get out the yellow pages. If you're of that age, you know what they are.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, Bash did a lovely job preparing my will, my living will, and my, I think, as my wife calls it, my revocable trust.
Yep. I mean, in all seriousness, I do estate planning and administration, wills, trusts, deeds, etc. Most recently, I've had a rash of people come in of varying ages, and each one at the end has said, I am surprised how easy that was. So that's kind of the thing that's been on my mind and that I would like to convey is it's not a morbid conversation. I don't know why it is perceived that way, but especially the younger you are, the easier it is to talk about. I wouldn't ever call it fun, but it is really nice to know that your stuff is in order.
I don't know. I mean, the part where we took out the roulette board and spun it to decide who was going to get my stuff, I thought was a great addition.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we try to make it fun.
Yeah.
You know, and then when we use the Ouija board to talk to all your dead ancestors and figure out where your money should go, that was rough too. But in general, the actual estate planning process, basically the sooner that you're on top of it, the easier it is, the faster it is, and the simpler it is. You know, it doesn't take much to protect your family. And it's all that I do. Like, I'm very happy not to handle your criminal case, but I will very happily help you make the plans that will keep your children safe, keep your heirs safe, and just make you sleep better.
Once we elected that new prosecutor and that new sheriff, crime ended and you had to move into other territories.
Well, I mean, if there's anything wrong with now elected prosecutor Michael J. Mahoney, it's that he is just too vigorous about justice.
So you're telling me if I'm in the clink, you're not my one call?
Not anymore, buddy.
He'll call Sean.
If you get shot, call me and I'll set it up. But no, if you go to jail, I don't do criminal law anymore. I used to, and not to make light of that.
all right, let's move on.
How many people watch this?
Oh, hundreds. I'm going to be very impressed if it turns into a lead tonight for you with that performance. We do have to say thank you to the patrons that do make this show happen. We did a nice 15-20 minutes for them. Earlier, as we were telling, we were trying to figure out what to do for episode 300. If you want to be a part of that, jump on patreon.com/ballsockofliberty and join at any level. If you donate $50 or more a month to the cause, we do mention you at the top of every episode. Those folks include Christy Avery of wonderful Fort Wayne, Indiana, Jonathan Phillips of Andy Moore Buick GMC, also running for city council here in town. He'll be on your fall ballot, and Anthony Meyer. All right. If you want some merch, you can message Dakota, Audrey, or myself, and we can make up some custom Ball Sauger Liberty merch for you as well. Let's cut to the chase here. McKinley?
All right.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Glad you're here.
Me too.
And it's also sad that you're here so soon.
Yeah.
So you've captivated Newcastle and Henry, and I might say all of Henry County in central Indiana, with your story. You have just gotten back from appearing on our televisions.
Yes.
So, how does that happen?
So it kind of, the whole experience has just been surreal, but, the way that I ended up, so I grew up watching American Idol. And so
it's been on literally your entire life.
Yeah. No, actually since before I was born.
And, yeah. You've watched Ryan Seacrest age before your eyes.
I have actually funny
or
story.
Not
so,
age.
so on American Idol, I got to have a mentor, in LA during Hollywood Week, and, his name's Justin Greeny, and, he's amazing, but I walked in the room and I just had no idea who he was because he was on the very first season of the show and I was not alive. So that was an awkward moment.
What does his hair look like now? Because at the time, I believe he had a bit of a perm.
Yeah, it does not look like that anymore. It's all off. But now, when I saw pictures of him with hair, I knew who he was. When I walked in the room, I was like, I just had to pretend. I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh, you learned how to be in Hollywood very quickly.
I did.
That's awesome. And you brought your guitar player with you tonight.
I did. My amazing dad came along with his guitar.
Welcome. Nice. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you.
Mr. Glad Amazing. To be here. That's what we're told.
Well, it depends on sometimes what comments you read.
Depends.
All right. So,
I'd fight some people in the comments.
You are a high schooler here in Newcastle still.
Yes, I am. I'm a junior.
I said days like today and with what's going on, I would have a serious case of senioritis before we started. And you reminded me that you have an entire other year to go.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. An entire other year of school while I'm doing all this. So I'm basically living the life of Hannah Montana, if you may.
That's awesome.
Except you're not on the Disney Channel. You brought your own TV crew.
I did. I brought my own TV crew. Aaron over here.
That's awesome. I think this is maybe the third time we've had somebody come in with their own camera crew.
Wow.
Yeah. So you are you're on the podium instantaneously.
I'm not the first.
You're not the first. No, it's happened before.
Well, that's good to know.
It's happened before. All right. So tell us, how do you decide I'm going to apply to get on one of these TV shows, and where do you even go? How does that process work?
So the whole process, I didn't expect the process to be like what it is, but actually on the way to our family vacation this year, we go to Destin, Florida every year.
Oh, I was going to guess Myrtle Beach.
And nope, close. Destin, Florida.
I don't think it's close, babe.
Not close.
One more year of school.
Beach. Okay. Same ocean, Mike.
All right. Can I talk now, Dad?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. All right. Okay. I'm
the smart one of the family.
All right. So Destin, Florida, on our way there, I had like seen auditions and stuff. Like I knew that it was happening. I don't really know if my parents did yet. And I was just sitting in the back of my car and, I was just thinking about it and praying about auditioning and whatever. And, about 5 minutes after that, my mom like looked up from her phone and she was like, "Hey, American Idol auditions are coming up. Do you want to audition?" Yada, yada, yada.
As any family has this conversation in the car on their way to Florida.
Yeah, just everybody does. Just normal family conversation about trying out. So we were like, yeah. I was like, yeah, let's try it. Let's just see where it goes. So I went to Florida, and for the first time in Florida, I did karaoke. So that was the first time I'd actually sang anywhere except my church or in a school choir. So I did that, and
what was the go-to karaoke song?
What did I do? Oh, "To Make You Feel My Love" by Adele.
Oh, damn it! I was gonna say by Bob Dylan,
but we also did "Fishing in the Dark."
She just now knows that it's by Bob Dylan.
But believe it or not, the Garth Brooks version is what my wife and I had our first dance to.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting, but
bit of a cover for him, but you know. So you did "To Make Me Feel My Love."
Yes, did "To Make You Feel My Love." And, that's when I was like I went up to mom after that and I was like, okay, I think I really do want to try out like 100%. So, she just signed me up and, they basically just tell you when your audition Zoom, cause it's over Zoom. Everybody used to line up and they used to make you wait in line for hours and hours just to get through.
And you had to hope it came to your town, right?
Yeah.
Now post-COVID era, all of a sudden the world's opened up and you can get noticed.
So now it's easy.
Well, is that better or worse? Like, what kind of microphone were you singing into as you're praying that they hear the quality of your voice?
I didn't use a microphone.
iPhone.
Yeah, an iPhone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some people use microphones, but I did not. So, oh.
Just the straight-up Apple mic.
None of these fancy mics.
No, not like these. Just Apple.
Wow.
And so I auditioned and over Zoom, and then about a week later I had a casting agent from an American Idol casting agent reach out to me because I'd posted a few videos on Instagram of me singing.
And your mom did. You what? And your
yeah,
mom.
Yeah, yeah.
Your people did.
And so yeah, my momager, that's what she likes to call herself. But so she posted a video of me singing "Have You Ever Seen the Rain?" And a casting agent reached out to me and basically helped me through the rest of the Zoom round. So there's like four or five Zoom, right? There's five Zoom rounds ish somewhere in that number that you have to go through before you even get to the actual judges. So I had to go through like a bunch of lines of producers to even get to Katie, Luke, and Lionel.
So where were they? Was that in California or Tennessee or where were they at?
So there were three different audition cities. So Las Vegas, New Orleans, and Nashville. I got to go to Nashville and that's where I auditioned. And that whole process is completely different. But, all the Zooms, like it didn't feel like it was just so surreal. Like it didn't really feel like it was actually happening, until I was actually in Nashville. And then I was like, whoa, okay, this is actually going somewhere.
Was that the, the video that we've all seen, was that the Nashville audition?
Yes, yes, okay, yes. Cool. Yep, that was a Nashville audition, and that was crazy in itself.
So how many people get to that point, right? I know you went to Hollywood, and there's only, is it 50 people that make it to Hollywood? Is that?
Oh, number, no. There's like a little under 200 people.
Oh, wow.
That okay. Hollywood. So
there was 160.
Okay, so there was 160 this time in Hollywood. But before, so in each audition city, so there's three. So each audition city probably has about 100 people. And
Nashville had almost 130.
Yeah, Nashville had almost 130. See, he knows all this.
So it's not almost 100 people. I mean, you cut this down from like 700.
250,000.
Yeah.
Is how it starts out.
From 250,000.
Mm-hmm. Zoom calls, auditions. Yeah,
let's not sell this short.
And then
this
three.
This is an insane achievement.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So after all the Zoom calls, which are difficult to get through, especially if you don't have a casting agent. But I was lucky enough to have one who helped me through them all. But in each audition city, there was 100 people. So, narrowing down from the 250,000 is what you said. You get to 300 and then about, so 160 made it to Hollywood Week. So 160 got golden tickets. And then, after the first round of Hollywood Week, it was cut down to 100, I want to say. And then, after duets, it was 48, 50, wow, somewhere in there. And then after that, it was top 24. So it goes so fast.
And when did that timeline happen? So when you actually got to go to Hollywood, when was that?
So I went to Hollywood all the way back in December.
Yeah.
So I was in LA. I've known the results from everything for a long time and have had to.
You've been able to emotionally process it. The rest of the town is just now catching up.
Yeah. So when I saw it on TV, I wasn't an emotional wreck. So I was fine.
So you're getting like congratulations and apology calls months after everything is over.
So all these people from December to last week are like, you're going to win the show. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Not going to win. Oh,
you could even get online and there is a lot of like the Idol spoiler reviews and they all had her in the top 24.
They all said, they were all like, yeah, McKinley Brown's in Hawaii. And I'm like, no.
Now, wait, there's a reason they said that, because your mom was like, I need to make them think she's in Hawaii. Huh? So when they started getting,
I post stuff on social media, but I hate posting on social media. So my mom does almost all of it.
So she goes, McKinley, you need to put Florida pictures on your Instagram and TikTok. So she did. And then all of a sudden everybody thought McKinley Brown's in Hawaii.
Well, I actually said, Mom, you do that, because I don't want to. Yeah. So she posted them and everybody thought I was in Hawaii, but I wasn't.
So what kind of, I assume you're sworn to absolute secrecy as to what has happened, and you have to just smile and nod and wait on the show to play out.
Yeah.
To a degree.
Yeah. To a degree. To a degree, I can talk about things like the songs I've sang, and for the most part, I can share a lot of my journey.
Right. Saying between the time you went to LA and when it aired, I assume you had to keep it all close to the vest at that point.
Yes. Yeah.
They really dictate to a degree what you can say and not say after the filming, because they want to help control the narrative.
Like they sent huge emails on what I couldn't post and what I could post and what not to do and what to do. So, yeah, right. So
there was a bit of emotional connection as well. So you got at 6 minutes on ABC, I think, between you got introduced, you told your story, mm-hmm. and then your entire performance got to air.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell us what that process was like.
Like the filming process and all of that.
Yeah. And just like, I assume the producers had screened you to say, hey, what do we need to know about you? What's your story? Right.
Yeah. Okay. So, when we got to Nashville, the worst part of it was, so you don't audition the first day you get to Nashville. You have to wait there and in all that whole process, you're filming and you're doing B-roll and you're doing pictures and you're sharing your story and interviews. And so the entire time you're there, which can be up to a week, you have to wear the same outfit. The same outfit. I had to do my hair the same exact way, do my makeup the same way every day. It was awful.
Did you put a lot of thought into being comfortable for that
week?
I did.
Good idea. And actually, so I was actually going to change. I was not going to wear the outfit that I had on, but they had called me to the other opposite hotel where I had to do filming. They were like, you have to go now. I was like, great. So now I look like this and I'm wearing a bright yellow cardigan and bright blue pants. So we'll just see how this goes. And I just had to roll with it for the whole rest of the week.
So they're selling the idea that this all happened in 20-minute stretch.
Yeah.
You did an interview. You did another interview.
Yeah,
you
but
performed,
really,
you did another interview, and it's done.
Yeah, some days. Since there was 130 people there, they had to get everybody in because they don't know at that point who's going to air and who's not. So everybody had almost the same amount of filming time, and so they had to get all of us in. And some people were there 4 or 5 days. Some people there. We're there for, how long was I there? Probably a week.
We were there 7 days or 8 days.
Yeah, we were there for a while because I ended up getting, so I auditioned on the second to last audition day. And
it was the last.
So I auditioned on the very last day. And so because I was there, they had asked me, they were like, hey, will you stay a few extra days for like some extra filming and like intro stuff and introduction.
Cause
I was already there.
Top 12.
And I was top 12 in Nashville. So, well, I don't want to brag, but,
okay, I will.
This is the place to do it.
Well, I was supposedly top 12 in Nashville, out of all the talent. So I stayed and had to wear the same outfit for a whole 3 extra days. And I was actually supposed to.
Your reward.
Yeah, my reward. But the filming process is very long, and interviews, like what you see on TV is like 2 seconds. Like everything I said, could have been from like 20 different interviews. So there's a lot of them, and each of them can be 1 hour to 2 hours long. So you're doing a lot of, talking, and you're doing a lot of repeating the same things over and over and over and over again. So, but when the story all comes together, like the way that they put my story, I could not have done it any better. It's everything that I wanted to come across, and the way that I wanted to come across is how it happened. So I'm just really thankful for that.
Very good. For the folks watching the live stream real quick, I think we do have a small equipment issue. So I know that there's a little bit of trouble with the audio quality coming through on the live stream, but you will be able to listen to it in podcast form, and there's a separate piece of audio equipment picking that up. So that will be crystal clear. So even though you may not be able to hear it right now on the live stream, I promise that tonight, once we get it edited, the podcast that comes out will be just fine.
Jeremiah, they didn't hear anything you just said.
Thanks, Smash.
I just wanted to piggyback on what she said, because one of the questions that we have gotten, and one of the things that I've always wondered, is when you get there and then when you see everything on TV, the two things are these stories really real? And, well, they're telling you to say certain things. So from our experience, what I've seen is almost every story that is put out there is true. There's a couple that are a little tweaked or not certain things are addressed, but like they did, like for her story, they went in, they wanted doctor visits, doctor notes, pictures. Like they extensively look in to make sure, number one, your story is correct. And when we filmed, and when we were in the green room, and there was 2 camera crews, and we watched everybody else be filmed, so you would sit and listen. There was no coaching on what to say. Like, they didn't tell you, you should say this to make the story better. Now, sometimes with parents, they would encourage them to talk a little more, because a lot of times the parents would get scared. And sometimes the kids, even like in front of the camera, or some parents, maybe like me, would say too much. So then they would kind of redirect that. But there was no coaching on what to say, what not to say. It was, none of it was was fabricated.
Yeah. And especially during duet rounds, American Idol, like a bunch of people are saying, oh, this is so staged. This is fake. Like, this isn't real. And I've replied to a few of the comments, but not meanly, of course, but a lot of them have said like, oh, this duet is staged. Like this was staged, but genuinely we were all sitting in the audience, like with our mouths dropped, like the one with the guys with their phones out. That was real. It was very real. And then one of the girls ran off stage and left her partner alone. That was insanely emotional for everybody. And like I even personally thought, I was whenever like watching the show, I'm like, oh, that has to be staged. But really, it's really not. The only thing that is fake or staged is the B-roll where you see me and I'm standing and I'm like looking off into the distance, twiddling my thumbs or playing with my ring. But that's really the only thing that's like, but that's just the TV part. That's not the emotional.
They just need something for transitions.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So tell us the story, or for the listeners that maybe didn't catch American Idol and they're going to go back and check into the story now because they listened to the show. You battled through middle school. You battled some anorexia and bullying. Yeah. and a number of different things.
Yeah. So all through my elementary school years, I had a lot of friends and, I knew who I was and, I knew what I wanted to be and all those things. I was very confident in who I was. I had my own style, yada, yada, yada. And, I get into middle school and my seventh grade year is good. And then my eighth grade year, I had my own style. And when you're in middle school, I feel like everybody's kind of trying to figure out who they are anyway. So, everybody's kind of in an insecure state. And so, I feel like a lot of hurt people. And I was very confident going into eighth grade. And I had my own style and, I wore, different shoes than anybody else wore. And I didn't wear leggings and sweatshirts to school every day, which isn't an issue, but I just didn't. And everybody else did. So it was like, I automatically stood out. And, so I started very slowly, like my friends would just be like, why are you wearing that? And like, we'd laugh and then it just like progressively got worse. And, I got made fun of for like things that I can't change. Like my nose is big and my ears are big, which I get from my grandma. So I
hope you're listening, Lisa.
I hope you are too. But, like things that I just couldn't change.
Was it this nose they were talking about? Cause yeah. I don't see it.
It is a little big from the side. I know it is, but you know, it's all right. But, so yeah, I would just get made fun of for things that I couldn't change and just who I was as a person. Like things that I believed in, and I was told that I couldn't sing good, which is quite funny now. I'm back, but,
that's some Toby Keith stuff.
Not that I'm bragging.
That's a rough criticism right there.
Was on American Idol.
Little pitchy dog. Yeah.
But, so I just would get made fun of for all that stuff. And, one of the biggest things I was made fun of for is, being overweight because I was definitely chunky. And, being in that stage of, like, I don't want to say being attacked, but being, just pulled down all the time. I just, you know, started believing the things that, people said about me, and I just let myself, get caught up in it all. And I started to not eat. And like, I was eating like 300 calories a day, maybe. And like, I was in volleyball and I was, in this volleyball league and we would run for like, ever. And I wouldn't even drink water. It was so bad. It was horrible. And like, so I ended up going homeschooled. So there came a point where I wasn't even hearing things that people were saying about me anymore. It was my own mindset.
You internalized it all.
Yeah. Yeah. I internalized it all. And, my own mindset was just got caught up in it all. And, it was almost like a game. I don't really know how else to explain it. Like I would step on the scale and I would see a number and I'd be like, oh, I want to be this number by next week, or I want to be this number by Friday. And, so it was just a horrible mental, and physical issue. It became very physical. And I went to the hospitals a lot. I was in and out of hospitals, trying to figure out what was wrong. Cause my parents had thought that I was,
they just see you dropping weight.
Yeah. So they thought that I wasn't eating because I was sick. But in reality, I was sick because I wasn't eating.
Yeah.
And so I mean, obviously I didn't openly tell them, oh, I'm anorexic. And well, because I didn't even know, like, I didn't really realize I was only 13, 14.
What clued you into that? I mean, when you're stuck between, I can't tell my friends because I'm trying to do this in order to gain equality with them. I can't tell my parents because this isn't a thing. I'm just a normal kid. How did you manage to recognize, wait a minute, I'm not in a good place?
So hospital trips was the big thing that helped me realize that. So being in and out of hospitals all the time. One day I finally went to the doctor, and one of the doctors was like, you're going to die if you don't eat, and we're going to put you on, you're going to have a feeding tube and you're going to be hospitalized. And when somebody looks you in the eye and tells you that you're going to die, it's
the scared straight.
Yeah. Moment. Yeah. It's definitely not the best feeling. It was like an immediate click in my mind that was like, okay, this is wrong and I am doing something wrong. And so, it got to a point so bad. One time I was in the hospital. This is just one of my worst memories from this time. I was getting blood drawn, cause we were trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And I was so dehydrated and just hadn't eaten anything. I had no veins in my arms. So, they had like stuck me with a needle like 5 times in both arms and then in my hands too. And, my hands were so cold. They had to like get, like doctor's gloves and fill them up with hot water, and, like sit them under my hand. And, like nothing was working. So they finally, had to take one of the pricks that you use to like test your sugar. And they stuck it into my hand and just had to scoop for like 3 hours. I had to sit in the hospital. And so that was also one of the moments where I was like, this is not okay. And so after I had a doctor tell me, you know, you're going to die and you're going to have to be hospitalized, I started walking through the healing journey with my parents, and we all had finally like accepted it and weren't in denial anymore about what I had done. And, so I started walking through the healing journey, and, now I'm here. So, and I'm a lot healthier. I'm way healthier.
So in what, how long did it take you to go from that point in the hospital to feeling okay again? Like that you were out on the other side?
I would say genuinely, probably
Nashville.
Probably Nashville, like whenever I was auditioning for American Idol.
This is a big part of your healing process.
Yes, too. Yes, it really was.
Were you getting any other help at the time? Did you have a counselor or anything?
I actually refused. My parents wanted me to have a counselor, but I was just so closed off from everything that I was like, you're going to pay and I'm going to sit there and say nothing. So, I mean, I didn't have one. I do now, thank the Lord. But
talk about that, please.
So,
I mean, in retrospect, having, because I think that's a very common thing.
Yeah.
As soon as someone recommends a counselor, it really is normally like either I don't have a problem or I don't need some asshole who does not know me.
Yeah.
I'm not about to lie down in front of somebody and have them just judge me and then I'll just take their advice.
Yeah.
What was that like when it was suggested, and what was that like when you embraced it?
So, I just started counseling a few months ago, and, with this great guy, he's amazing and I do love him so much. And I'm so thankful that, you know, I finally opened up and
thank you, Mark, if you're listening.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Yeah. But, I'm so glad that, I let it happen. I didn't really know that it was happening. Actually, I think it was probably the day before I had a counseling session, and my mom was like, "You have a counseling session." Like, great. And I still at that point I was like, "I'm not talking. Like, I'm not." And so she was like, "Well, you're going to, because I've already paid for it. So you're going to sit there and you're going to talk."
Thanks, Mom.
And yeah, thanks, Mom. So actually, the first counseling session I had, for the first like 30 minutes, I just sat there in silence and I made my mom stay in the room with me, and she talked to the guy the whole time. And I was just like, I was like talking to a wall. Like,
stubborn was going to win.
Yeah. Well, then he said something. So he's all about the Enneagram, and he studies it and does all that. And so he was talking about like how I am as a person, and he was understanding basically. And when you have someone and there's somebody who doesn't have an emotional connection to you, and they can just sit and listen, and they're not giving you a biased opinion, like my mother or my father would, which I tell them a lot of things, but it is hard when you have an emotional connection with somebody to talk to about like deeper things. So when I realized that he actually genuinely did care, and it didn't have to be an emotional connection, or he didn't have to be my best friend or somebody I hung out with every day, it honestly just felt refreshing to be able to talk and open up more about things. And I needed it because I started counseling after I had shared my story on American Idol. So my audition hadn't aired yet, but I started after I had shared it. And I was like, well, I should probably
start to process.
Yeah, I should probably start to process it if it's going to be.
Well, and I think from a parental standpoint, you can sometimes be too pushy. And I think the process sometimes takes longer than what we want it to. So while she even talked to us and opened up about it, and then she would communicate more and we tried to work through it, you get into where, hopefully she won't get mad at me if I say this, but we started with medicine. So we went to just a normal doctor. And
are you saying you don't want me to get mad at it?
Oh yeah. I'm telling everybody that you're on medicine. Hey, I am too. It works.
I can,
but yeah, I think you have to, every kid or every person can be different. So I think for us, what worked was building our connection back to where we could talk, and then getting her to a doctor, and then the doctor suggesting some medication, and then working through the medication part, because what anorexia does to your body affects your mind and your body. And if you're a teenage girl, I think what most people don't understand is how screwed up your body can get, but how long it takes your body to actually get back to where it should be. It's
my body is still, it's still regulating different things.
Yeah.
I still have unbalances that I have to have medicine for.
Yeah.
Mike, how did you navigate? It's very easy for older generations to look at younger generations, especially while you're still in school. You're not 27. Your brain won't be physically fully developed until 27. And you know all this stuff. She doesn't. No matter how brilliant you are, just don't know what he knows.
Yeah.
And the temptation is always to say, oh yeah, I made that mistake. Don't do that. And what do you hear when someone says that to you? Just don't act that way.
Yeah. That's stupid.
You know what I mean? How do you navigate when she has these issues that are very real issues?
Yeah.
Affecting her life, affecting her health. And you're on, hopefully on the other side of them. Yep. I mean, some of these can be lifelong. Mm-hmm. And how do you respect her, but still say, hey, you know, maybe we need to investigate this deep.
Yep. I think there's a few things that help. I think one, because me and her mom, my wife, we have a good relationship. I mean, some days we hate each other, but I think for the most part, we parent pretty good and we partner pretty well. And we both had a thought of what was going on. But when it comes to something like this, when you get to that point, the health issues start to overtake. The fruit is the health issues. The root is the anorexia. So you start to look at the fruit and you're like, I need to address this. So that's why all the doctor visits took place. But then I think for me, when I realized, and probably my wife, it was the day or two before that doctor visit she's talking about, you were an emotional family and we were a touchy family, we're hands on. And when you go to touch or hug your daughter, and gosh,
I knew he was gonna cry.
She's like, her body is cold. And there's no meat there. Like, it's bones. And I remember she was laying in our bed because she'd went upstairs. And I don't know what I said, but I was angry about it. And she got angry and she ended up going downstairs. And I remember thinking, we have to intervene. And just, it doesn't matter if she's mad or not. And so after that doctor visit and what the doctor said, her mother and I were like, you have two choices. Talk to us now. Or go get a bag and we're going to the hospital and we'll hook you up to a feeding tube right now. We ain't going to wait. We can go. And that's when she started to talk. And I think as a parent, that's where you have to lean back and be like, if I asked her to open up,
you got to listen.
And I have to listen.
Yep.
And I can't,
that's what's going to be productive. Yep.
I can't be mad. I can't judge it. I can't fix it because I'm not smart enough to, but I have to parent that and create a safe place again and build connection so we can go to the doctors and we can get medicine and we can, and I still, like, I have to watch myself because she might have a day where she's not hungry or she don't feel good and she won't eat. And then I'll be like, you didn't eat today. And I have to be like, I can't do that. I've got to chill out. You know, she's healthy. But it takes all that. We couldn't have done it without having each other, having God centered in our life, in our faith. I don't think there's just one right answer. I think it's two or three or four things for us.
Yeah.
So McKinley, you always had a musical ability, right? You said you guys are a musical family. That was always there, but you had never really performed.
Yeah.
Right. So tell me more about the family side and how that came about.
So, my great grandpa, his name, is Thomas Fletcher. He was a musician and, he had a local band. He had a local band and he also, played bass for, Conway Twitty and Dottie West and Loretta Lynn and, traveled with these people and did a lot, in Tennessee and in Nashville. And, he had to give it all up, because he had 13 kids at home. So, now all those 13 kids have kids that have kids. So I have this great big family and I'd say over half of us can sing and are musical in some way. He sadly, passed away a few years ago, but, I grew up just around music always. So every family get together was like a huge concert and, he was always singing. He always had his old records playing. It was just always music, always, no matter what.
So I told you I would tell my great grandfather's story. My great grandfather was a guy named Dwayne Amon, who was a drummer in my family's New York State. So he was Manhattan in the 20s and early 30s.
Oh, wow.
And he was Sammy Davis's drummer.
No way.
Yeah.
Nice.
But nice. I have, and my dad drummed as well. And I have, I like, lyrics I get completely, can't sing at all, none of that. But the one little bit of music I have is I can tell you the lyrics to any 90s country song, inside out, the entire thing. Got that. But no musical ability at all. But yeah, you mentioned your great grandfather. I'm like, I got to tell her our family side.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It runs deep.
Yes. Yes. Very deep. And even on his side, like, so my great grandpa is my mom's grandpa. So that's all on my mom's side. And, he is very musical. He can play absolutely any instrument he picks up. Maybe not the best, but he can play literally any instrument. And, other people on your side of the family sing too. Correct.
Is he decent with a guitar though?
Oh yeah. I'd have to say, I'd have to say he's all right.
All right, so we're going to try to do something in here that we've never done, and that is a live musical performance.
All right.
Mike, if you want to grab your guitar,
yep.
And we are going to do our very best. And I understand that the live stream audio is questionable. Zach has been efforting wildly over there. Don't know if we've been proved anything or not.
Zach knows how to run a compressor.
But if not, the best version of this will be on Spotify, iTunes,
And then Dakota says that he might go back and take the audio from the podcast, lay it over the video, and then we could re-release the video with
the non-live stream version.
Better audio. Yeah, all I'm right.
That may look like it's some sort of a Japanese movie, but we'll try it.
That would be amazing. He needs to do it on like a quarter second delay, so it looks like it's badly dubbed.
The good news is that we do record this a couple different ways, so we'll try to see how it shakes out. All right.
And this also might get loud. So whenever I get louder, do I need to back away a little bit?
I don't know.
So I'm not like, I mean, I won't be screaming, but
slightly, but I'll try.
It does get loud.
Zach's got some options over there, and Bash can pull the microphone away if we need to.
Right. Is there any kind of compression on these mics?
There's some, yeah, they're going through a bit of a limiter, but
a little limiter.
But to what extent? Don't ask me. Okay. Not been trained yet.
So pull it back a little bit.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Bash might be more, yes, former band guy. He might be.
I'm still on iTunes.
SoundCloud rapper Bash Kreider.
Yeah. 20 years ago, my band.
You have to work over there?
Before she was born.
We might be better suited to go low here, as low as we can. I don't know. I'm going to try to not help.
What if I do this?
There we go. Hey, that sounds good.
Please don't mess up.
Yes.
I believe in you.
High pressure on Mike over there.
Jeez, thanks.
I'm just going to pray right now that
the family dynamics up. Amazing.
Don't embarrass me on local cable access. Dude, the man played on ABC a week ago. Don't embarrass me in front of my hometown crowd, for God's sake.
If I can do it in front of Lionel, I think I can handle this.
All right.
I might need to take
this. To be fair, you didn't play this song in front of Lionel.
Not this one.
Fredley did
this. He's awesome.
I will be playing Lionel Richie for this role.
So this is actually the song that I sang.
Ash got so nervous he left.
This is actually the song that I sang for my first round in Hollywood Week that did not get aired, unfortunately. But in my personal opinion, it was pretty good, so I'm going to sing it.
All right.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, then I'll watch them roll away again. I'm gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm gonna sit on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've got nothing to live for, and nothing's gonna come my way. I'm gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm gonna sit on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Boy, for a live performance in a place we've never done that before, that was spectacular.
Thank you.
Great job.
Very beautiful.
And Otis Redding? Is that right?
Yes.
Man, deep. You knew that, didn't you, Bash?
Oh, I know all of Otis's songs.
There you go. Covered by Garth Brooks, by the way.
I've got that
rolling around, too.
Well, I actually sang the Sarah Bareilles version, but that's all right.
Yes. Well, I mean, there's many, 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 many versions. Great, great song. All right, so that was one of your Hollywood songs that didn't make it.
Yes.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
That's awesome, though. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Bash, you've got some questions. Audrey Davis had put out a feeler and said, "Hey, do you as an audience have questions for McKinley?" So we said you'd have a chance to get them asked or answered here.
Questions from the public. Are you ready?
These were submitted earlier.
Yeah, here they come. From Sarah Morrill.
Never heard of her.
Yeah, mystery woman. Who is your favorite to be crowned this season?
This is hard.
Well, it's like handicapping.
Wait a minute. First of all, do you secretly already know who is crowned this season?
No.
It's already go. I think now at this point it gets ready to go real live.
So
right?
we have surpassed your experience.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so Hawaii is filmed beforehand, but it is live voting.
Okay.
So it's already been filmed. But while you're watching it, you will be able to vote in the people who are in the top 24 as of now, or top 26
gotcha.
As of now, don't know if.
Hey, you know what? Why don't you give us two answers to this? Okay. One, who is your favorite? Two, if you met anyone who is still in the running, who do you feel the most strongly about on a personal level?
So yeah, this is actually
strongly in a good way or a bad way.
Who pissed you off?
Yeah, I feel like that's best
not to share.
That would be un-American to say.
Okay, Dad, you're taking it too far now.
Pun intended.
Anyway,
oh, that's good. I don't like that pun.
So, in Nashville, I made a lot of close friends. Like, I don't want to say I don't think other seasons of American Idol have been like this, but I haven't seen anything like on American Idol where people get as close as they have this season.
It had to make it really easy too when you looked at them and they all looked the same all week.
Yeah.
Because they don't change clothes.
Yeah.
You know what your friends look like. You got it nailed.
I know. Like, I know your name. You get because close of to your outfit.
Got that Slayer t-shirt on all week. Yeah.
But so everyone in Nashville got really close. And in fact, I got close to so many people that we actually all last week rented an Airbnb in Nashville and stayed together. Cool. Because we are genuinely all like a huge family. So I do have a few close friends that are still in the competition. Oliver Steele is one of them.
Dude, he's so amazing.
He's so good. He's like my big brother. I talk to him probably every day. And then Haven Madison, I also talk to her every day of my life. She's one of my closest friends in the entire world, and I love her to death, and she's insanely talented, and she is still in it, and so is Oliver. Tyson, he is from Canada, but he's also incredible. He's 16, I think. I want to say 16, 17. Haven's 16 and Oliver's 24.
There is an age criteria, right?
29.
Yeah, 29.
All right.
And I think
the Taylor Hicks rule.
Yeah, I think it's 15. I want to say it's 15 to 29, but I'm not really sure. Paige Ann is amazing as well. There's a lot. There's a girl named Hannah, Nicolaiasen. There's so many.
So like 26 of them.
Yeah. So like all 26 I want to win, basically.
I would pick Oliver or Iam.
Yeah. I love Iam. Iam's great. I talked to Iam too. I love him.
He's the Hawaiian guy.
Yeah. He's the Hawaiian guy that,
he
blew up. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
But he's incredible. But I have a lot of people on the show that I'm close to still. And I'm so happy for all of them. And I can't wait to see who wins. I'm so excited. I think I'll be fine anyway, because as you know now that I'm close to probably every single one of them.
Do you think that was a part of the healing process?
Yeah, I 100%. It's so obviously, we're in Newcastle and it's definitely not a town known for music. And I mean, if you sing here, you're probably the best of the best here. And nobody's really into music here. I mean, if they are, it's not very known. So, I mean, I have been into it my whole life, and I've like grew up being made fun of for singing and doing music. And so when you're with all these people, like 130 people,
Like-minded.
Yes. Like who have gone through similar experiences, have been made fun of for, music or whatever things they like and things that they, Like they've just gone through similar experiences. So it's like an immediate bond. And when you're all together in an environment that is one of the best times in your life, but it's also one of the most stressful and lowest times, like you have to lean on each other. So it's like everybody just immediately opened up and became family. And that's why we all just went on vacation together last week. So
that's awesome.
It was interesting because I'm a sports guy and you think everything's going to be so competitive. It was competitive, but like so inviting at the same time. So they go and they're in the room to practice and meet and talk. And they're, I want to hear you. I want to hear, that's great. What can you sing? What can you do?
Like everyone was genuinely interested.
Becomes
and
collaborative.
Genuinely cared. Yes. Yeah.
Well, you're simultaneously each other's competition, but you're also each other's therapy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like you would not be here were it not for your talent. And they are the people who recognize having this amount of talent while stuck in real life and all of the BS that injures you.
I mean, I think we all got so caught up in each other. Like we all like genuinely forgot that it was a competition. Like there were some people who made it a competition and wanted it to be a competition and stayed on their own. And that was fine. And that was for them. But I feel like most of us all got so close that like when it came time for people to go home, it was like such a shock. Like we almost forgot like what we were doing. Cause it was so much fun and it was so stressful, but like it was just this whole big family thing and it was just not competitive.
You enjoy the ride when it comes, whenever it ends, it ends, right?
Yeah.
All right. So Bash, what else you got in the book of questions over here?
What else we've got? So this is from Lisa Lynn Oling.
That's my grandma.
Well, there we go. Is that
you don't have to answer that question.
She was clearly impressed because she wants to know, when can we expect a song or two?
Oh, so she knows the answer to this, but she wants everybody else to know the answer to this. So actually, I'm working on my original song, Bad Tattoo. It is in the process of, it's been recorded. It's in the process of, making it
being mastered.
Yeah, being mastered.
Right, Aaron, that's the word for it. Look at that. We're professionals now.
Yeah.
So it will, as the kids say, drop soon.
It will drop soon.
And a video.
And a music video.
With the song.
With the song.
Spectacular. Yeah.
So very soon.
If you need to borrow Zach for any of your audio engineering, he works in AM.
Not he knows how compressors work. allegedly,
not after tonight.
we'll hear it later and find out.
And not only Bad Tattoo, but he mentioned I think Songhouse earlier. But I do I work a lot with Songhouse, which is a writing camp almost. It's just at somebody's house, like it's a loft, and we all go in and we get a track and we get a theme and we split up into groups and we go write and we all come out and we all have completely different songs, but we record and they'll get posted, and if they blow up we get to release the song or we'll be asked to, and I mean we get the choice if we want to or not. But so I had a song that I actually have two songs that are on Songhouse right now, and there will definitely be more posted, but there, and then there's one that I'm writing just one-on-one with some of the people from Songhouse. So that will also be released soon, too.
You're allowed to talk about that if you want.
What?
Who you're writing with.
Oh, okay. So I wrote my original song. It is called In My Room. It's nowhere yet. Nobody has heard it. So
it's not finished.
So stay tuned. It's not finished. But should be soon. I am writing it with Dennis Cook, Tyler Ward, and Emmy Russell, I think is her last name.
Emmy
Rose is what she goes by. But the Songhouse community, along with the Idol community becoming family, the Songhouse community did as well. And I walked in and was very, very welcomed. And I'm very blessed for the opportunity to work with them, because some people wait years to be able, like you have to sign contracts and, Tyler actually was a guest at the Showstoppers show and wrote some of the names down, like of people that he was interested in and wanted to come and sing and whatever. Not taking people from Idol, just wanted to help promote everybody else. And so he wrote my name down and he just simply DM'd me on Instagram and was like, hey, do you want to come? And I had no idea what Songhouse was. I just didn't. And I love music. A lot of people do know what it is, but I didn't. And I didn't realize how big of a deal it was until I got there. And so I just really am blessed to have the opportunity to work with the people that I'm working with. And Emmy Rose, it's really funny how the connection that we have, because so her grandma is Loretta Lynn and my great grandpa played with her grandma. So, and we've also been through very similar, we have a very similar story. And so writing a song with her and Tyler and Dennis, it's just, it'll be out soon. And it's just an amazing experience.
So there's three, maybe four major music cities in the U.S. There's Austin, Los Angeles, Nashville, maybe you throw in Memphis or Detroit.
Yeah.
Is the Nashville route kind of what y'all are targeting at this point?
Yes, 100%. And
just by looking at your dad's boots, I assume that's what we're trying to do.
So, even before I was into music, I've always wanted to live in Tennessee. We have really good, friends in,
Knoxville.
Yeah. In Knoxville, that are also like family. So we always spend Thanksgiving up there, and which Knoxville is like 2 hours away
down
from
there.
Nashville. Sorry.
One more year of school.
Listen, she just sang a song from Otis Redding about living down in Georgia. Up there is Tennessee.
Well,
that's the way it goes.
Side note.
She internalized that song.
Side note, somebody the other day asked me where I was from, and I was like, oh, I live in Indiana. And they were like, what state is that in? And that is the response I got. And
it's
I was
in
like,
Pennsylvania.
So they were way older than me and way out of school. So I just want to say I'm not the only one who is not good at geography.
That's true. I have a buddy in Nashville right now, Chase Wright, and he's killing it.
Wow. You
got to go talk to Chase. Get down there.
Nashville is the place. Nashville is the place for sure. And so a lot of the friends that I went with on vacation last week, one of them lives in Nashville, but there were like seven or eight of us and that are probably the closest. And we like on our drives home, we all drove separately. One's from Virginia, one's from Tampa, Florida, one's in Atlanta, one's in Michigan. So we're all from different places and all on our drive home, we all are like, we're just like texting each other. And we're like, man, we need to move there. Mm-hmm. So we've all deliberately made a plan that we are moving there this year.
That's spectacular.
And so
it should probably be said we didn't send you by yourself.
Oh yeah, I was not sent by myself.
They got her a full tank of gas, a fake ID, and said, "Enjoy Broadway, kid."
So that is not exactly what happened. My parents did stay in a hotel, and I did spend a lot of time with them. But I was not alone and unsupervised.
Any more questions, Mr. Bash, that you deem worthy of asking?
I do. I've got two more. One that was submitted. I do have a personal question. Have you personally written the song that broke your own heart yet? I mean, at some point, because you've been through a lot, obviously it takes emotion to like put out the kind of performances that you do.
Yeah.
Have you written the song that shatters you and you alone yet?
I would say I'm somewhat in the process of putting it all together.
Okay, cool. Well, I can't wait to hear it. The last question is from Lucy Lynn Pink. And
this one's not my grandma.
Okay. Not a grandma. This is a
verified third party question.
Yes. Here we go. Why do some people not get as much airtime?
That's
a good question.
So yeah, that actually maybe is a good question.
Answer that either as why do some people not get as much or how did you manage to get the airtime that you got?
So a part of the reason that I managed to get the airtime that I got, so Katie, Luke, and Lionel do get a decision and like somewhat of a decision of sending you to Hollywood. But a lot of production and network makes the decisions based off of TV. So I got airtime because not only did, I think my story was very touching and needed to be shared. And I think network and production knew that. And production also loved me and my family, which helps a lot. Like it's one thing if, you get aired and you're mean to production and you are horrible and whatever. But,
I would imagine,
but production, like when I got cut and I was not in the top 26, I wasn't crying. And then I walk out and there's this guy and he's like holding the paper. He's one of the highest producers and he's holding the paper, like checking you yes or no, if you made it. And I walk out and he's like, all right, you made it, right? And I was like, no. And he looked at me and he was like, you're joking. I was like, no. And he was like, wow. He's like, that's the biggest shock of the day. Yeah. And so I keep walking. I was like, wow. Okay. And he gave me a hug and whatever. And I go down and I'm supposed to be doing an interview. And one of my favorite producers is just bawling her eyes out. And I wasn't even crying. And I was like, okay, really? Now I'm going to cry. Now that you're crying, I'm going to cry.
You've crushed their souls by not moving on.
Like, guys, come on. I might try so Idol next year, but we'll see about that.
You blasted through Katie, Lionel, and Luke at 1,000 miles an hour. What was it like meeting Katy Perry, Luke Bryan, and Lionel Richie?
So I grew up listening to Katy Perry. And so like I would perform Roar in my living room, like, and have a dance routine for my mom and dad and be like, Dad, Mom, watch me, watch this. And
I grew up listening to Lionel.
And he grew up listening to Lionel.
Dancing on the ceiling.
And are you done?
Focus, yeah. Okay. They'll never have Dad. This back.
Well, I just thought the fact she's too old to even know who Nicole Richie is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Nicole, yes. That's before her time even.
And Paris Hilton?
Yeah.
I know who Paris Hilton is.
Really? Who's her dad?
Just, I don't know.
You know Nicole
who is
her grandpa was Conrad. He was in Mad Men. Duh.
Okay.
Yeah. Back to her story.
I just don't know my train of thought anymore.
Katy Perry.
Yeah. Dancing. Okay. So Katy Perry.
Performing for these people. Impressing these people who were previously your idols.
So since you have so many days before your actual audition, I had a lot of time. They give you a lot of time to work your nerves down. So when you get there, it's very high energy and you're very nervous and you're very excited and it's so overwhelming. But the days go by and there comes a point where you're just like, oh, come on, just get me in the room so I can just get out. Like I'm done waiting. And so by the time you're already there, it's like, okay, whatever. I'm going to go sing for these people. But going in, it still really is cool. But when you have a moment to realize, like when you talk to them for, when you actually have a conversation with them, you realize that they're actually people and they all had to start somewhere just like I am. Like,
well, and Katy Perry tells you, yeah, you're going top 24. Like she's enthusiastic.
Yeah.
That's just amazing. That part is just,
then what
that personal connection is amazing.
So what got cut out of my audition? Cause you're actually in the audition room with them. It depends, but we were probably in there 15, 20 minutes, like just talking to them.
It was longer now.
But
we were in there. So
after Katy gets up, so what they didn't show is Katie's actually like was bawling when she like when like, a lot of them, I think all three of them were crying whenever I got done singing. And so Katy stands up and is like yelling at me and she's like, I'm so proud of you. You're amazing. Mm. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. And Lionel is giving an advice to me and my dad. And Katy stands up and is like, you're going to be top 24. And Lionel stands up. And they cut it he actually does stand up. He's like, I'm going to stand up for this one and you're going to Hollywood. But he actually said, I'm standing up for this one because I disagree with you, Katy. She's going top 10. Well, I'm here and I didn't go top 10, but he did say that. And Lionel actually said to me, he was like, out of all the years I've been doing this and I've been doing this for a long time, I wish to this day that I could perform the way that you just did for us.
That's amazing.
So that was big.
It was interesting because as the healing process, what she was more concerned with was meeting the people and being nervous about that than she was going in front of TVs or producers or in front of them to sing. She's like, that's nothing.
Yeah, that is a good question. When they're
the one-on-one.
Yeah, when you have, you've got an empty lens.
Use your mic, Greg.
You've got an empty lens that is presumably speaking to
tens or millions or billions or some number that you can't imagine. And then you
just
also,
like here tonight.
Yeah. That, I mean, honestly, just like this, you're talking to us, but maybe there's a guy or 100 people watching. And then there is also Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
Who is 20 feet from you.
Yeah.
Who do you perform for? And how does that interplay work? I mean, do you even think about the lens, or are you focused on, oh my God, I'm singing to Katy Perry.
Or are you just praying your guitar player doesn't get messed up?
No, actually, I think I said that to him right before we went in. I was like, don't mess up.
And we walk in the door.
I will hurt you.
Because you do. There are stories where people go in and their accompanist accidentally does something wrong and messes up a little bit and it throws them totally off track. So that was probably the part I was most nervous about. I was like, don't mess up. It will throw.
Hey, let's come back to that, because I really appreciated both of your emotion, but let's hit that as a second topic.
All right.
Who did you play for Katy Perry and Lionel Richie, or did you play for a billion people that I don't know?
I feel like
there's more than one camera in the room.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's probably like 15 cameras all the
way
around.
That probably helps to ground the fact that is a billion people. But even still, those are, I mean, they're black lenses with like a little glare on them. Versus your three of your heroes are sitting right in front of you.
I think really after the fact that I realized Katie, Luke, and Lionel were just people, since that just wasn't a big deal to be performing in front of them. I think it was more, I wanted to prove to myself that I could do it and sing for myself, because it's what I want to do. And I also just wanted to not only share my story with the world, but share it with, share my voice with the world. So I wasn't really thinking about the number. I was just really hoping and singing, for whether it was one person, whether it was 20, whether it was a million people, however many it was, that my story would, help them. And, I could prove to, a little girl or a little boy or whoever out there, that's struggling with something that I struggled with, that they can still accomplish their dreams, because I was at my lowest, lowest point. And was almost, I was dying, and I made it out of there, and now I'm here, and I was just on American Idol. So I think I just wanted to prove that you can make it out of whatever dark place that you are in to whoever.
I think what might help answer that too is because we've done so much together, and you play and you sing together so much, like even if it's just at church or at home, there is a connection there. So there was a lot of times we would just look at each other, and you would, as a musician, which I know that you are, you get lost in the moment. There's nobody there anyway.
But
if you have the connection, if you're not just some basic guitar player playing for somebody you don't know, it's different. But when you're with somebody and there's a connection, you just like, at some point it just kind of all fades away. And for a couple moments, you're like, this is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
Does that help?
I saw you in tears preparing for this. I saw the video. It was really incredible on both of your parts. When the performance began, did you remember that there were a billion people watching and that Lionel Richie or Katy Perry or Luke Bryant were watching, or were you just performing with her?
From my standpoint, I was just performing with her.
I kind of figured.
And you,
as I watched it.
And I think that's kind of what I was like trying to get to. It wasn't so like, yes, I do want to share my story, my voice, but when I was performing, it was almost like nothing else really was there. You know,
that's probably about the best kind of performance.
Yeah,
it is.
Whether that's for a trillion people or none at all.
Yeah. Yep.
Very good.
That's awesome.
I know big things are coming. This is not the end of the story by any means at all. This is the part of the show where we normally, we call it final thoughts. We go around the room. We make sure we clean up anything we forgot. anything we have to promote. I think you guys have a lot to promote. So we'll start with you, Mike, and we'll work our way around the room.
Okay. Final thoughts would be, as parents and as a dad, it's a lot of fun to just be part of the journey. I've been telling a lot of people, you hear them say, it's great that she's following her dream. And at this point, she's not following her dream. She's caught it. And you start to run with it. So as a family, we are running with her and just trying to figure out day by day. We've got local gigs coming up. We're going to other states, New York. We go to Kentucky. We'll be performing Saturday night, go to Nashville. And we're just trying to figure out how to keep the momentum going and do it as a family and not screw up my other three kids in the process.
That is awesome. I'm excited to watch the journey for you guys. And I know the whole Henry County and the Newcastle community is going to be behind you.
Show your boots.
I already did.
Oh, you did?
Mr. Zach, what you got anything for us?
No, thanks for for being a positive thing coming out of Newcastle. I know everybody kind of jokes, looks like when your town makes the news for not great reasons, and it's awesome when it comes up and it's a good reason, and it's an honest reason. Like, I hope you didn't get any flack from telling a story that was true, but not necessarily, like, nobody's childhoods are great, and there's always some stuff you went through a lot more than like I did or a lot of people do, but it's great to share that because people do need to understand that stuff's going on, and there's like a thing that's out there for some youth that have issues called like it gets better project. It's a thing to just tell people it will get better. Just like try to tough it out. And so, any kind of positive news we can get from Newcastle and positive representations of the people in this town is awesome to have. So thanks for that.
Yeah. Very good.
Can I add to that real quick? What I love too is again, Newcastle is known for from the good stuff, it's all sports. And I love sports. I'm a sports guy, but I can't think of the arts, somebody who's done something with the arts or music or song that's done something like this. So for me, like, I'm like, that is so cool for all these kids who aren't sports kids who are like, I can play an instrument. I can write a song. Maybe I can be an artist.
Yep.
Who have wanted to step out, but haven't felt like they've been able to.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, in the amazing thing is that with the technology we have now, you know, you did 5 Zoom interviews, right?
Yeah.
You can achieve this dream from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the magical thing is that Newcastle, Indiana is a short 4.5-hour drive to Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
You're 4 hours from Detroit, right? You can get to a lot of the hotbeds and still live your life here and mm-hmm. still and not have to make that complete and total commitment of moving the entire family and the entire life to Nashville.
Yeah.
You can still live in Newcastle, live your life and be running this parallel cycle to make it happen.
Yeah.
On the other side, Zach and I come from the motorsports world. The IndyCar champion, Joseph Newgarden's from Nashville, Tennessee, and he would come to Newcastle, Indiana to race go-karts and learn how to race go-karts. And yeah. He did that right here. Same thing you guys are doing, but they would run I-65 the other direction, yeah. And they did that for 4 years. And now he's racing for Roger Penske, and he's gonna, you know, he's gonna run the Long Beach Grand Prix and probably be the favorite to win. So, you can make that Newcastle to Nashville drive and do just fine.
Yeah.
What else do we need to know? Anything? You got live performances. Where can people catch you? Anything that you can announce yet?
So, like I said, Bad Tattoo is coming soon. So. My Instagram is McKinley B and my TikTok is McKinley Brown. But on those platforms is where I will be announcing, further things and, things about Songhouse and, also follow Songhouse, on Instagram and on TikTok. Cause, whether or not you see me, the people on there, the talent is just amazing and it's just a really cool thing to, watch and like see happen. So Songhouse is probably the biggest thing that I'm working in right now. And I just enjoy it so much. And also, lastly, I do just want to say thank you, for all the support and the love and the encouragement that I've had, even from you guys just today. I just feel like I just needed to, show my thanks and let you guys know that it really does mean a lot more than you know.
Yeah.
So.
That's wonderful. We're excited to hear. Bash, you got anything?
I mean, I would just amplify everything that's been said so far. I really appreciate you guys doing what you're doing. I kind of, as Zach said, and then Mike amplified, and I would just amplify it again. It is impressive that you are doing this representing Newcastle.
Yeah.
But also at people with struggles. I mean, I think that's one of the hardest things for people as we grow up, because everyone has been through some kind of trauma.
Yeah.
Does not matter what. We've all been through something, and to see someone not just succeeding and not just taking credit for it, but to specifically be broadcasting, hey, here's what I've been through. Here's what I overcame. Here's what I'm still struggling with.
Yeah.
I think that might be the most important message that can get out right now.
Yeah.
And I think that is, it shouldn't be brave, but it is.
Yeah.
It's immensely brave.
Thank you.
And I hope that you are just the spark at the beginning of the daisy chain.
Yeah.
You know, and then an entire generation is just going to say, okay, yeah. So here's what was lacking and here's what I did about it. Just like you did.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that to me is it's beyond impressive. It's literally the seeds that will like
produce something.
Yeah. Yep. Generations to come will be grateful that somebody stood up and said, hey, you know what? Middle school's all screwed up. And, you know, here's my life's values. And this is the BS that hit me in middle school. And I got hurt in this way.
And you come out the other side.
Yeah. And then I came back to my life's values. And here's why I am who I am.
Yeah.
Like I went through it. I can't think of anybody who didn't go through it. I'm impressed with everything you're doing. I'm especially impressed with that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for being so open with us and sharing your story. It's awesome. I know that you felt the warmth from us, but you have done your story has brought our community together in a way that we haven't done in a little while.
Yeah.
This show has existed for 6 years and we've had a lot of inner personal fighting about a lot of different issues in the community. But this week or 2 weeks that, you know, in your American Idol run as it's been airing has been spectacular. And I think the entire town's been behind you and you've helped to unite the community. So
thank you for that. So much.
We say thank you. So, you know, it's great that, that you're here and you hang out with the plucky guys down here at Boss Hog. with that, we say thank you for being a part of the show this week. We will be back next week. Going to continue our local business series. Ben Ham from the Press Coffee Shop is going to be here next week.
Look at that. I'm representing, actually.
I'll show up for that.
And,
I drink all those coffees.
Probably around 3 o'clock on the 20th, Dakota will tell Bash that he needs to be here, too.
I'm excited to interview Ben also. All right, let's do this.
We'll see you guys next week.